Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Howdy, Nuka-Cola chugging vault dwellers, to another Raider ravaged and A-bomb blasted episode of Cosmic Fallout. This is your friendly mutant with a tragic backstory, Patrick here, your GM, giving you a big ol' thumbs up to the mushroom cloud in the sky. And joining me in wasteland wandering and vault vagabonding are my five stim pack sucking suckers and your players to my far left. He picked up his suit of armor off of a 10-man knight. It's Jabert jabbering away as Jamfram.
Jabert, you're muted.
Sorry. Several places, probably.
Oh, boy.
Jabert jabbering away as Jamfram.
Hey, everybody.
Ooh. Across the digital table from me, Dorothy isn't in Kansas anymore. Now she's on an irradiated yellow brick road. It's Miles, making believe it's redacted.
Good evening.
To my right, this ghoulish gunslinger needs a brain, or rather, some guy's whole head. Why, it's Tyler talking to his prey deer.
Hello there.
To my immediate left, pay no attention to the absent father figure behind the plot curtain. We have Drew dying to play Zilix Thel.
That's it. I don't know how to feel about that one.
And across from him, the cowardly brother who goes on to investigate the vault mysteries. It's none other than Rebecca Rowland with Asher and Sky.
Hello.
For some reason, I wrote my notes as if Fallout was very analogous to The Wizard of Oz, but some stuff worked out. Some stuff worked out okay.
Yeah, there was some stuff in there.
Yeah, I can see it.
It worked.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome, everyone who slightly enjoyed that intro.
Well, honestly, it made me start second guessing, like, did I miss a Wizard of Oz, like, parallel in the show?
So I ascribe to the theory that there are only two plots in, like, all of fiction. And one is a man and a woman go on a trip, and the other is a new man comes to town, or a new, like, villain or something comes to town, and Wizard of Oz and
the third one is the Wizard of Oz.
Well, no, that is a man and a woman go on a trip. It is Dorothy and a bunch of men, and they go on a trip to kill a witch. And that is also kind of what Fallout's about. Man and woman going on a trip through the wasteland, and then a ghoul shows
friends
up.
Friends along the way and enemies too.
Yeah,
she'll miss the scarecrow most of all. Wink.
Yes, so just keep that in mind. I think the next set of Starfinder characters you should all somehow ascribe to a Wizard of Oz character. I know the main crew, there's only like really four in that movie, so someone's gonna be Toto.
Someone's gonna be the dog.
Someone's gonna be a little dog.
To be fair, we've already kind of done that. We've had,
Knack the little dog?
No, Echo 7 was the Tin Man. Maybe Wynn was the dog because he was an animal character.
Yeah.
That's a stretch. Nah, it's a stretch.
He's a Wookiee, if
Same
anything.
Same with Knack.
Sorry, Drew, you're Toto.
I think Sprouts Marlowe got picked up all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's
well,
true.
For,
I mean,
for
Sprouts
that
Marlowe is at least Toto sized.
Yeah, yeah.
Kept putting him in my basket and riding off on my bike.
I mean,
Tyler, honestly, Tyler, I'm so sorry. Dross was the scarecrow intervate. You just need a brain, buddy.
If I only had a brain.
If only. I suppose it's not too early to be talking about this on the podcast, and maybe I'll mention in the next few episodes, but we do have our dates lined up for, believe it or not, CritterCon 8 this year. Woo. CritterCon 8 is the weekend of September 12th, 13th, and 14th. There's already been some announcements of the time slots and things on our Discord channel. And yeah, me and some of the mods and campaign organizers are already getting stuff together for raising money. Once again, this is our 8th CritterCon and 7th year in a row raising money for Doctors Without Borders. Somehow we've raised like $25,000 to $30,000. They still have no borders, or they're excited that they don't have any borders, but they still need money. It's like healthcare is an ongoing cost in your life. Like, it's not like something you can just solve at any point. So raising money once again for a good cause this year. So September 12th, 13th, 14th, put it on your calendar. It's an online convention, and it's one of the fun ones that you can donate money to cheat at Starfinder, a.k.a. purchase roll bonuses. You can purchase rerolls, purchase natural 20s, and we're going to have a lot of Starfinder 2nd Edition, which the day that we're recording this, I guess a couple weeks ago now, they just put out the Starfinder 2E Starfinder Society Player's Guide. And pretty exciting. They got a couple new ancestries in that of Keshti and Shobad, which I didn't know was happening. So that's cool. Are you guys are you all excited about CritterCon 8?
Oh, for sure.
Lucky.
Will there
number
be an auction
eight.
This year?
An auction?
Yeah.
What are we? Are we auctioning off?
Sorry, the giveaway. Giveaway.
Yep. Nope. You guys can buy Miles. we're giving them away. I mean, auctioning him. We're starting at
$1.
We're
gonna make a profit off of him, but.
I mean, I didn't pay any money for him. But any dollar amount would be a profit.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What?
Oh, I just stuffed him in this old potato sack and I'm making some money for a good cause.
You're being sold as a TTRPG indentured servant, apparently.
That's not a surprise. That this was done to me on the More You Nerd like 10 years ago.
Yeah, so yeah, mark your calendars. I suppose we'll mention that more. I took too much time promoing CritterCon 8. I do not have time for a last time on. I'm sorry, guys. No last time on this week.
Can I just say one of my notes from that episode was jammy crammy? Can I just throw that out there?
Okay. Wait, is it from last week's episode where we played the season one crew? Or
no, this is
three
one
weeks
of my
ago?
Notes from 3 weeks ago, our last episode that Jamfram was in, and the jammy crammy.
You know what? You because you have that note, you guys can get an episode reroll today. Why not?
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know what Jamie Crammy is, but
I'll keep it right in my
like
cram
it.
Zone.
Oh, right. His cram hole. Yeah. So this is episode 98. I don't know if you know about me, but it means we're coming to a rapid end on this season in this campaign. Are you guys ready to get back into the action?
Let's do it.
Yep.
We start this week aboard the Battle Scarred Deck, the command zone of the Peridot Peregrine, the ship of the Viridian Administrators. Redacted, piloting the starship, the gray alien has been behind the wheel of this colony's vehicle for well over a year. Miles, what's Redacted thinking now that you guys are seemingly headed straight for a massive gravity well of a living, unliving, undead white star? What's going through Redacted's mind?
I mean, I think Redacted it's honestly kind of stoked. I mean,
it's definitely an unknown.
Yeah, weird unknown things that Redacted can just kind of either dissect or probe or study, and anything new that could possibly even kind of create more weirdness in the universe. It tickles Redacted's fancy. So Redacted's probably had to go to the bathroom for probably 8 months if Redacted's been piloting for a year straight.
Well, not a year straight. I'm just saying you have been the pilot. You've gotten out of the vehicle.
Being stupid.
Oh,
he said it's been a year, and Redacted's just been flying the ship. And I was like, is that all Redacted's been doing?
How dare you? Is Redacted having a good time? Is Redacted like cracking a smile here going into the unknown and potentially
Redacted
death?
Redacted is, yes, absolutely. I mean, Redacted has certainly fitted the kind of navigation area to kind of mimic his setup in the Space Vista Cruiser, has a spot for the music, much to a lot of people's chagrins, because sometimes Redacted will just put it on the intercom and make it everyone's problem. But yeah, Redacted is absolutely like loving it, and from time to time probably just does like some really dumb space maneuvers for no reason at all other than to entertain Redacted.
Behind you is Zilix Thel, born into the lap of luxury, but cursed into exile here. You've spent some time now on the edge of the galaxy, kind of honing your own spell scale to your advantage, your own powers, and you've chosen your own found family here instead of your own blood, and potentially a family that you're going to go down with, you're going to die with. Do you think Zilix might be regretting some life decisions that led him here?
It's tough to live a life full of regret. So Zilix is living a very tough life. But no, I think Zilix is, while he's not happy with the situation, I think he'd much rather be doing literally anything else. He has discovered some new things about himself and his ability to control his powers that he never would have found if it hadn't been for Gorlong.
Yeah. Yeah, nearly dying several times and having to evolve your nanotech. Yeah, and they're pretty nice folks, right? You look over and you see off to the side of the bridge a very enigmatic pair of aliens in Asher and Sky. Asher and Sky, who have themselves spent years trying to kind of keep this team together, maybe figuring out if there was indeed a mole within your midst. Asher and Sky, you look around at these other four folks here. How are you feeling about the crew that you've done a lot of work to keep alive over the years?
I think Asher and Sky, given that they have no ranks in physical science, don't really know what they're coming up against and what they're about to face in this white star. They do, however, have some mysticism. So I think that they are spending some time with their headphones on, communing with their Karakande parasite and with their ancestors, as well as calling upon the training that she received from the battle flowers.
Preparing for the unknown.
Yep.
Yes,
tapping into all of her resources.
Not only do your characters and you yourselves as players not know where you're about to get into, none of our listeners do either, because I have changed the ending to this campaign fairly extremely. I mean, obviously, the last few weeks you fought like a level 20 battle, so that wasn't in there. But yes, next up, we've got Mr. J to the Amphrom.
Mr. J.
Jamfram, stalwart knight trying to make up perhaps for death of old friends, old crew back outside Absalom here on the edge of a new civilization. You've made yourself into a shield for a leader that has maybe proven himself both confused and a little private. Does Jamfram regret becoming a bit of a bodyguard for Prime Executive Pradier?
You know, in retrospect, you know, it's not...
I think this guy's
not exactly the person. Not exactly the person I would have hitched my bucket to, but you know, here I am. What are you gonna do?
if only Drew put a little more points into charisma, it would be President Fell.
I had the points that I had. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's how it goes. Anyway, I'm here and I made my bed and I'll lie in it.
You're on. On the guns still for the Peridot Peregrine, ready to blast something out of the sky. Yeah, last but not least, sitting in the captain's chair of the starship, pondering perhaps an orb of pure darkness. Its shape changing, the shape changing former elf, the undead Presidente Pradier. Tyler, two campaigns in a row, you've taken on kind of official duties as captain. And more spoilers for Deadman Roll No Crits. You've been playing as a leader for like the equivalent of like 6 years of gaming. What's up with that? No. What is Prather thinking about now as you lead your crew into the depths of Misaxenoi?
Oh, Prather's thinking
about how pretty this orb is. He just really likes this orb. Very happy that he didn't die trying to get the orb.
Yeah,
maybe regretting not letting everybody go full murder hobo on that boss and take all their stuff.
Don't worry,
you know, Tyler, she's forgotten about probably, that, but now I'm angry about it again.
She's probably never going to come back again. Yeah, so no worries about that.
No, I mean, Prater is. I think Prater's thinking about. the evolution of his abilities and how I think he's very focused on, you know, he's holding something in his hands that might have an answer as to how his abilities became warped. And, you know, just that he's very close to achieving his goal. So is, you know, pretty locked in.
Do you say anything here to your crew to reassure them as you're entering the gravity well, the bands of purple darkness outside the starship beginning to blink out the stars from the skybox, replacing them with indeed what looks like purple pinpricks before a dead purplish white hole in space in the far, far distant annals of the kind of region of space that Misaxenoi takes up. I don't know if, you know, it's hard to give you a visual representation, but it is like a white dwarf and it has a massive kind of comet aura around it of like purple radiation. So you're entering into like a whole mini solar system sized area with the Peridot Peregrine. Anything you got to say to your crew here?
I mean, maybe at least Jamfram, you know, maybe Praetor, maybe Jamfram just hears in his head. Perhaps Praetor doesn't say it out loud because there are other people. But, you know, Jamfram hears like, you know, I wanted to thank you for believing in me.
Is that you, God?
Yes, it's me. It's me, Jamfram, which
it's Jesus.
Yeah, I'm
hey, space Jesus, please.
I'm Jesus. I'm the one who gave you all your knight-like abilities. It's me.
You know, I recognize that brain wave anywhere.
I don't know. I feel like this is a will save in action.
Let's see here. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt there, Tyler. You're trying to say something thoughtful and I was being a jerk.
You know, it's all good. As I always feel like whenever that happens, it just always reminds me of the Finding Nemo scene where it's like, it's me, your conscience. We haven't talked in a while. But yeah, no, Praetor just says essentially, you know, thank you for believing in me and following me, even though, you know, I doubted myself a great many times.
Am I allowed to think back at people with that, or do I just have to?
The funny thing is, while Praetor might know how to direct a telepathic thought directly to you without
I talk to anybody with telepathy.
You might just be broadcasting it loudly to everybody. Yeah. Could do that.
I don't know. Yeah. Sounds like something a will save might be able to tell us.
All right. Patrick's really into will saves this episode. Right. We might be in trouble.
20.
Jamfram knows how to do it. He's talked to you psychically enough.
Yeah, I'll at least point the thought in your direction. I'll be like, Praetor, I admit I doubted my choice once or twice, but I always knew deep down you were somebody that we could all rely on to see us through this, and I don't think there's anything that you've done that's proven me wrong, and I'm proud to be here with you. Here at the end of this, John, and I pull down my visor.
As you pull down your visor,
I snap on my nose. Ah, it hurts. Oh gosh, I gotta go to the infirmary.
All the displays in the on the bridge have a same like block red letter warning message that reads: entering high radiation zone, necromantic shielding, holding. Yeah, while I mean. We have you guys getting a close up look at the aura and the area around Misaxenoi. Do you guys want to make me a computers or mysticism check as you begin getting bits of data in that you can examine?
Is it going to hurt anybody's feelings if I get bites of data instead?
Yeah, all the kinds of data.
Not
bits
at
and
all.
Bites.
I'm a mystic man. Bites
as your. Drew, what is going on here?
I have nothing in either of those. I just rolled for the sake of rolling.
You have no clue what is happening. It'd be funny if you rolled the 20. I still have no clue what is going on here.
I have a +3 in computers and a -1 in mysticism. So
he dug down deep.
Trained?
And
No?
That's probably.
I think he had to get trained.
I just press some buttons on the screen in front of me. It's fine.
Yeah, you... Pradier, I think, gets a sense as you're looking into the orb of Mesaxenoi and then looking out at all these weird heavenly bodies circling around the purple dwarf star. The readings coming back from the ship itself indeed show these to be all sizes, you know, these what look like almost little asteroids, some of them the size of trucks, others kind of, you know, much larger planetoids, big rocky surfaces. And as you scan them and you're peering into the orb can confirm this, you kind of see them close up in the orb, just masses of purple and black crystals, many of which, the larger ones, seem to be kind of tidally locked. And you see what looks like a large region of them kind of circling the drain almost around the outer orbit of Mesaxenoi itself, like concentric rings falling into the whitish purple dwarf. Indeed, it seems almost like, you know, the great storm on Jupiter? Is that Saturn? No.
No, you're thinking of Jupiter.
Jupiter.
Although
yeah, the
apparently
that storm's
going away. It's like disappearing, but that's not.
God, global warming strikes again.
So I think it's supposed to be on like a scale of centuries. So like,
yeah, I was going to say, so like centuries ago, it was disappearing is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I think it just like might be like a cyclical thing, whereas like we have a year storm cycle, theirs could be a lot longer. But this is probably a vortex that has been around for a long time. So it is a very small kind of like a draining circle of these very large asteroids, and there's millions and millions of them in the aura around Mesaxenoi, kind of dancing along stellar dust and other, you know, like super fine crystals that seem to be what's refracting this purple radioactive light whenever the bands of radiation are popping off of the star. They are lighting up these like ghostly arms almost that seem to be stretching out and forward ahead of Mesaxenoi, reaching out towards the center of your star system, towards the planet of New Galerion. Yeah, you get a sense looking down into this. You will have to get about as close to the star as you can to pilot into this storm, pilot into this large ring of crystals.
Patrick, I can't believe you're making me pilot into another storm.
Yeah, I was about to say, so sorry. It is just a giant hurricane. But it's in space.
Whoa! All right. Take us in.
Let's start with a piloting check here from Redacted to see how you do moving towards this section of the storm. And mind you, this entire star is also coming to you, so you're moving millions of miles an hour, you know, just like it's very quick to move into this star system. Oh good, 25. Super duper fail here. As you
want to redo that, do we want to like not go into the storm on a super duper fail?
Do you gotta
Ever since you guys said hurricane, Miles has had the song Hurricane from that anime we watched, Bubblegum Crisis, in his head.
I haven't, but
that's a great factoid. But can we not go into the storm on a super duper fail?
Yeah, we have an episode reroll, right?
Yeah, if you want, go right ahead. Look, use it right now. What did you roll? A 6?
Is that cool? Tie.
Probably do better.
I'm thinking that's smart. I'm thinking we're going to get the crap beat out of us if we
don't. I mean, this is the kind of time that it most benefits all of us.
Yeah.
There it is.
Ooh, chunky.
Can this be assisted if this is even necessary at this point?
Yes. I'm going to assume that some of you are helping out in various ways, as well as using the computer's boost for this. Ooh, great aid too, Zilix. Yeah, so as you begin to move closer towards this section of the Saxonois star system, it becomes nearly impossible to pilot the Peregrine. You are getting gravitational waves pulling the ship in all different directions. It's not just straight towards the star. It feels like you are hitting just massive walls of gravity that all of a sudden will jerk the Peregrine, you know, starward and port side, and wants to kind of really shake the ship up from all directions. But as you are working together as a team here, I think if you had rolled lower here, there are just so many erratically swirling crystals and spacer debris in this section, you would have immediately just crashed right into one. But now that you have a sense of what this storm is doing and the gravitational forces at odds here, we're going to run some fairly difficult starship crew actions in a kind of starship combat, but just some rounds here to get through what is like a giant asteroid field, but of super fast moving purple crystals and gravitational turbulence, I guess is another way to put it, to try and get your little starship that could through this storm. So yeah, all you need to do is get three successes in a round and your ship completely avoids damage. So you can aid one another. You can use, you could do your own abilities or skills on each turn. But yeah, this is kind of like Starship Combat, but just going to be using kind of skill usage. And each of these, you know, turns could be minutes or, you know, 10 minutes long, could be a while. So, for example, Miles, you can do piloting every turn if you want. But I will say that if you fail the majority of checks that you make, you won't be able to utilize a skill that you did on the previous round of my choosing. So if you fail 2 out of 3 skills that you try, I'm going to take one of those skills away on the following round, as your ship is going to get battered. And then if you fail every skill that you do on a round, then, well, there would be other bad things. I've written some notes here, but
the ship explodes.
Well, if you fail all of them, yes, this is a very short episode.
Just propose to you a skill check, or do we have to adhere to a certain list?
No, I mean, it's like there's stuff you can do in Starship Combat, but if you just want to diplomacy to aid someone, that'll count. So what do you guys want to do first?
I have an idea.
Sure. Sounds like it.
Could I use survival to plot a sort of route through upcoming asteroids to recommend?
Oh, yeah. You'll have to be doing this on the fly and, you know, calling out paths that you can predict very, very quickly. But I will say that is a difficult one. Go ahead and make that survival check. And I will say you will have to aid someone before they make the roll. So it's up to you guys if you want to do that on any particular one. Do you feel confident about?
Can I aid this?
Yeah, sure. Automatic aid or? Yeah, aided.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So 38 without the aid, so 40.
Okay, so that counts as a success.
Yay!
Easy success. Boom. Alrighty. So we got Jamfram, we've got Redacted, we got Praetor. What do you guys want to do?
I'm going to use gunnery shoot 'em ups. To
blast a path.
Try to blast some asteroids. Pew, 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 pew. Blast them. Pew, pew, pew. Shoot. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. Bang, indeed.
31. Okay. That's what I've rolled.
Another success here. This one I count as pretty easy, as you're really just like holding down the trigger for this to make a path forward. So long as you're doing it at the right intervals, you're just crushing millions and millions of tonnage of crystals. And, you know, the smaller ones are just bouncing right off your shields. You really only have to worry if you're hitting something in like a magnitude of about like half the mass of your ship. That is just going to absolutely cut through shields and start doing damage to your vessel. Miles, Tyler?
I think Redacta will probably take the the routes mapped out by Asher and Sky to pilot and maneuver the ship.
Okay. Just a pilot
from,
and check.
From hitting things.
Pilot and check sounds good to me.
All right.
Ugh. What'd you get?
22.
A fail. Our first fail.
Rolling like dog, dude, today.
So no pressure, Tyler. Tyler, no pressure, but you are on a bit of a bubble here. You'll need to make a success to get a successful turn. And if not, we'll figure out what happened with a failure.
Cool. Anybody have an idea what I could do? Because your boy doesn't. I can't sense motive on the asteroids.
Mysticism? Can you feel where the upcoming crystals might be?
Use the force. Can I use the force, Patrick?
Feel
can
I?
Are you putting away your
turning computer? Can I use the orb of Miss Saxonoi and use the force alongside of it?
Yes, that sounds awesome.
Okay, thank you.
But as you stare into the abyss of the crystal, it stares right back at you.
That excites me.
Oh, don't worry. It's another fail.
Good.
Yeah, I don't think you've got two successes and two failures here. I did say that it had to be a majority, so I don't think this counts as a round of success or a round of failure, which I think if this happens again, it will count as a failure, but your ship shielding
takes. I will say, I feel like we kind of cheated ourselves out of another success by having Zilek's aid. Like, yeah, that could have been another success, but he
warned us that we needed to aid before the primary person roll as a result.
But I didn't realize if Drew rolled a bad roll, then bingo.
If I had known, I would have aided Miles and not aided you. But
well, now you know your ship takes a lot of shield damage here, but it's able to, slowly replenish itself as you get through like one stream, of millions and millions of rocks and things coming at you, and get ready for a second wave. Who wants to start off round two here?
I'll make an actual roll this time. Can I roll physical science to try to see if I can bounce us around some of these crystals and find like the gravitational fields of them and whatnot?
Sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Just barely. Yes. A success. Some of these are going to be 30, some 35. And if you give me something outlandish, like Asher and Sky dancing, it will be 40. DC 40. All right. Who wants to go next?
Can I do the same thing I did last turn, or do I have to switch it up?
You can, so long as you guys don't get multiple failures, in which case I'm going to penalize. Yeah.
Okay. I'll do the same thing then. I'll roll survival to try to anticipate upcoming crystals that we can evade.
Yeah. It worked last turn. You had a good run.
39.
It works this turn too. Yep.
Yay.
Another success.
I'm going to stick with my strategy of shooting rocks.
Okay, we're looking for another 30 here.
Rock shoot.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
A fail.
All right.
First fail.
Redacted is going to try to do a little bit more fancy flying.
Okay. Working off of what Asher and Sky is feeding you?
Yes.
Oh,
God.
Tyler. Welcome back to the suck.
No,
you are once again now. But you're on the real bubble.
I'm the lead weight of the team. This isn't what's supposed to happen.
Two failures, two successes.
Imagine if we had to re-roll five brand new characters for the last fight of this book.
Oh no, I would just. It would be
we just get the bad ending.
No, it'd be the season one crew having to fight a star. You guys are
like, oh, well, then I crashed the ship into a
falling into the crystal. Corona.
Okay.
Deal.
Well,
I do 1 million damage a round of star damage.
I mean, my best skill is bluff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can't use that.
You can.
Can lie to us and tell us how awesome we are, and we can get through this as a crew.
Does that work in this case, Patrick? Or
you're not incompetent.
If he rolls above 30, can you raise all of our rolls by a certain number?
DC 35 here, Tyler. Go right ahead. What do you? What do you?
Shouts out over the storm. I believe in each and every one of you.
Tell me you're proud of me.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We do not believe you.
Everyone looks back at the captain's chair. Hey,
oh, God, he doesn't believe in us.
Wait, wait, wait. Hold on. I can spend a resolve point as a reaction to retry a failed bluff or sense motive check with a circumstance bonus equal to half my character level.
Okay, yeah.
This is the gambler theme. It's called Poker Face.
Everyone looks at you unbelievingly, and you're just like, nah, for real. For real.
It's true. I double down. I'm doubling down on how much I believe in each and every.
The fluff check was worse.
Oh, goodness gracious.
This is great.
Hold on. There's a circumstance bonus.
He's got a circumstance bonus. Let's get that.
So, okay. Well, it's half my level, which we're level 12. Six.
Yeah.
So that's six. So nope, that's still not 30. That's still not 35.
A three on the dice.
Oh man. Hey. You know what?
The first one would have been a success.
I only get the circumstance bonus if.
On the reroll.
On the reroll. Yeah.
Oh, otherwise, no.
Yeah, I totally would have done that.
Okay.
I'm being reminded that my favorite thing about this game was when we didn't play it.
Oh, yeah. Good times. We get to find out what the failure is as the starship is rocked with a smattering of random debris here, like several rocks that break through shields, shake the ship, and throws you off course a little bit, and gives us the old classic Trek bridge shakedown as you are rattled, perhaps falling out of seats, perhaps banging your heads against consoles here. I need everyone to make me a fortitude save on the deck of the starship.
Rebecca, take some damage. Thank you for shaking in your chair with me. I really.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, no.
It's pretty simple one. DC 20.
I'm on an eel jacket. It's too early, but I'm doing it.
I'm just going to take a little bit of damage.
No. Oh, it's worse.
Yeah, if we were in Starfinder 2, you'd be taking a lot of damage here, Drew.
I rerolled to a one, gang. That's what happened. Yay.
That's how we do it.
That's why you never reroll.
24 points of damage, so 12 on the half. You know, this is not bad. If you had failed a little harder, you know, hit like a giant rock out there in space, the ship would be nearly destroyed. You'd be taking a little bit more damage.
Mm-hmm. I'm really sorry to ask this. Was I at full health at this point?
Yes! Or is it? I knew over? We were going to get it.
Yeah, you guys had several hours with which to have a full rest.
Okay, believe, great. Just check. Since I don't want to cheat
we played
the game. I could assume, but
episode 357.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Yeah, 357 is when we played the last, I believe, and you guys took out.
But didn't you say at the beginning of the episode it's been a year since that time?
No, it's been a year since you started piloting the Peridot.
Paragon.
Are you drunk?
No, I'm not. I was just
like, I've been in the ship for a year.
That's why I made the whole comment at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, I understand.
I misheard you and thought we had been like
flying for a year.
Yeah,
man, that was a long time jump. No, it's been a
that's what
half
I thought.
Day since that okay. episode. Okay,
all right. Well, that's different.
Round three. Who wants to start?
I'm gonna have Redacted roll computers to get like an exact flight model to follow, because winging it with the crystals has not helped Redacted. So I'm gonna try.
Who's gonna fly the plane?
I got you.
Oh, okay, great.
We're all gonna.
I'm just rolling computers so that basically it'll almost be like autopilot.
I also can't believe you just called it a plane.
I was going to comment on that, but I was going to
flying the plane,
Rebecca.
Go ahead and make me that computer check.
Kind of a space plane.
38.
All right. Success. Mind you, who wants to go next? We're leading off strong here.
I'll go next.
Because somehow
Palpatine has returned.
Miles failed the last two piloting checks in a row, so you're already up one from the previous rounds. Go ahead and get to blasting, Jabert.
Bang, 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 I say. Bang, 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 bang. Oh, no. Bang, bang.
Three on the dice. It's a fail. Yeah, you're not able to, like, syncopate your shots, and you're doing that thing where you're shooting where they were a second ago. Just the ship is getting rocked by debris.
All right, I'm going to look out for crystals like I've been doing before.
Go right ahead.
Ooh, natural 20.
Natural 20.
Nice.
Nothing extra in this game.
I think we'll count that.
Can't wait for 2E.
I think we're going to count that as two successes. And
Patrick's going easy on us.
Say that you technically... Yeah, no, because we've already had a success. So that's going to be enough to get through this band of the storm. You like are able to find a channel that seems to be all small crystals and radiation, but your necromantic shielding is indeed holding out as you're able to skirt down to a lower level. The starship here begins to get readings of a very large rock, like a rocky moon almost, far off in the distance. That seems to be at the center of this widening gyre. Round four, who wants to start us off?
I'll do it. I'll do another physical science.
Okay, no pressure, but we got...
I have the ability to reroll before I know the results.
All right, well, you have rolled a 5, and you can probably do better than that. So, you know, right ahead. The result was a fail. Of
course. All right.
And don't worry, this result's a fail as well. Who wants to go next?
Redacted will.
You want to go back to piloting? You want to stick with computers?
I'm gonna do computers again. I'm gonna this kind of helped out Redacted last time. So let's blow on this dice.
Oh no! I think. Oh man, I think I gotta count that as two failures. If I count the 20 as two successes, right?
I do like these rounds where I don't have to roll at all and don't. I'm not. Yeah, this is good.
You guys, you get blamed for losing. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys keep doing this.
Well, I will say, if Pradier, Jamfrum, and Asher and Sky all succeed, you can make it a wash at three successes and three failures.
All right. Can I try survival again?
Please. Oh, and also.
Don't run into the rock.
If you get critical successes, I can just wipe that out, basically.
Oh my gosh!
Hey! Oh my god!
Rebecca, that's how you do it. Go! That's how you do it.
Two in a row. Right.
Two in a row. Two 20s.
So, once again, now we're completely on the bubble. Those, the critical failure and critical success wipe each other out. We are at one failure. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. So you still have the chance if both Jamfrum and Pradier nail it.
Let's do this, Tyler. Pow, 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 pow. Oh, man, it flirted with that natural 20.
Real close. Yes, that is a success. Tyler, why do you keep going last? You're on the bubble.
He's a bubble boy.
I keep hoping that the result will be clear before it gets to me, because I'm having a bad day. All right, we're going to...
You got it, Bubbles.
Lying was terrible. Let's channel dark energies again. Let's go back to channeling dark energies. Oh.
Staring into the orb of Misaxenoi, you call on it, perhaps, for an inkling of its power. Magical power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I have anything to, like... Just checking to make sure I don't have anything.
I think you should lie to the crew again, because that was very funny when I didn't believe you twice.
Yeah, if this one doesn't work out, trust me, the rest of the episode is lying to everyone. Just,
we're all going to live to be very old.
All right.
Success. Success on mysticism. Yeah, as you stare into the orb, you just get a sense of where these crystals are about to be, and perhaps subconsciously are moving some of the instruments in directing the ship to get it out of harm's way. We'll count that as a success round. We're on a roller coaster of emotions here. So one more success round and you'll be through the most dangerous parts of the outside of this storm. There seems to be like a nice, more relatively calm center where things are not moving as fast. The rocks are moving at like a few thousand miles per hour as opposed to
a chewy nougat center.
millions of miles. Yeah, who wants to start round five?
I gotta fulfill my promise. I'll lie to everybody and say,
oh yeah, wait, give us a keep speech.
The worst is definitely behind us.
Oh no. Please be lying. Please.
Oh, I squeaked it in. The worst is behind us. I mean, it's not because it's still a lie. It's just you believe in the.
It's a DC 35, so you did not squeak.
No! Oh,
what?
Wait, what if the worst is in front of us?
The worst might be in front of us. You guys don't believe a single thing I'm saying.
The worst is in front of us, I say, and I point the guns to the front.
You don't have one of those Aeon stones that one off is a thing.
Oh, I was about to say, can you use the same ability to reroll?
Let me check and see if it's a once per day thing.
Otherwise, we're in trouble already.
Oh, as a swift action, you can spend one resolve point as a reaction. I can do it as many times as I want. I just have to keep spending resolve points.
All right, good, because Jamfam blasted out of failure immediately after you rolled that. But you can you can lie to him again.
I'll lie to him again. I'll be like, Jamfam, no, that was an excellent shot, actually. It was
critical success.
You might have missed what you aimed for, but you hit what we needed you to hit.
but you hit in our hearts.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to follow that up? You feel maybe a little boosted by your captain.
I'll follow up with my survival check.
Sure.
All right.
Just roll another natural 20, Rebecca. Those are the ones you get.
I'll try.
Ooh. Natural 2.
I mean, it was, you were due.
Yeah, I know.
Can't ride those, you can't ride them highs that high.
Now, we are at a point where you have two successes, two failures. Whoever rolls next, if you get a failure, the worst you can do is tie. If you get a success, then it's kind of round over here. Does Redacted or Zilix want to aid one another? Do you want to just take one roll here?
I can aid pilot. Plus 15 to piloting. If you're going to roll piloting, this is the one to aid.
Miles, you feeling confident? Is Redacted ready to put away the targeting computer and
I don't know. By the targeting computer is like 4 more points from my piloting score. So
I mean, you can push away the Unity tendril. You can just shove Zilix's face far away from Redacted.
Why am I even rolling to aid? I could be walking around and auto-aiding.
Yeah, I'm confused as well. It's up to you, Miles. If you want to take the aid, you can. If you want to have a little buffer to try and go to another round.
How many extra points does the aid provide?
Two.
Okay, right. So I have plus 4 more on this one, so.
Computers is better.
Yeah, doing the math.
I'm gonna roll computers again.
I mean, if I can auto-aid, I can...
35.
Ooh, yes,
sneaked
baby!
It out. Success.
Now, for fun, I think we should make Drew roll just to see if he gets a natural 1 and ruins everything.
Well, I was about to say, he doesn't have to, because as you blast through this final round here, maybe a few thousand miles away through a miasma of tidally locked crystals and ones that seem to be, you know, orbiting with this kind of central nougaty core of the storm. Underneath a large corona of what looks like spectral purple radiation, there is indeed like an oblique sphere at the center of this storm. You can see through the stellar clouds here to what looks like a planetoid made of rock and crystal. It seems mostly undestroyed by the battering storm of rocks and radiation around it, and is, you know, solid ground. Here, as you look upon this space rock, you feel the orb of Mesaxenoi pulsing in your hand, maybe with confusion, but then you, a second emotion, you feel perhaps fear flash across your own mind. Maybe it's mimicking your own emotions, maybe it's projecting that of the many watchers before you that have held this orb. But yeah, a small part of you perhaps believes the stone is seeing this place and giving the sliver of the ancient entity that is refracted within it, maybe a little bit of hesitation, a bit of trepidation, a little bit of unknowing. Something about this rock tells you it is an important place.
We need to get the orb to the crystals. My precious is scared.
What are your orders?
Go to the rock.
All right. Here we go. It's
clear orders, right?
Appreciate that.
All right. As you get to move down here, you guys can breathe a sigh of relief, having taken pretty minimal damage from this dangerous storm on the outside. But as you go to move into this more serene section of Misaxenoi's influence, radioactive influence here, there are a number of proximity warnings that are sent to your comms, to your screens, flashing red as it says, incoming hostile starship. You all have just a moment to flip on the aft sensors. You see a starship about 10 times the size of the Peridot Peregrine bearing down on you all, huge chunks of it destroyed, hundreds of crystals kind of sticking out of areas of decompressed hull. It is moments away from crashing into you. The Fated Harvest, the dreadnoughts of the Culling Shadow Fleet, helmed by Watcher Cruel Veth. I need everyone to make one last starship skill roll to avoid destruction. We have one more round of starship combat.
No!
The dreadnought is trying to ram into you. What would you guys like to do?
Can I use survival to recommend that we
don't die?
Far left.
Let's survive. Yeah, I mean, go right ahead. It feels like this is the moment to dance, but I agree. It's probably good.
Well, I mean, I could dance, but you made fun of dancing earlier.
Well, right? If you had rolled a rock like this, a 41, that would have been even a success. Just like, guys, don't be distracted by the starship. Look at my sweet tap. That is a success. This round's a little differently, so it's going to happen, but how many successes you guys put up?
Mitigate some of it.
Yeah, we'll mitigate potentially a lot of it.
I'm going to put a missile right through the bridge the bridge window. I mean, a missile? Nah, like a big slug.
Big slug coming at you.
No, little slugs. I only shot the little slugs. Ah, fooey.
I was about to say, you blast a crystal that happened to be like in between you and the Fated Harvest. Okay. Who wants to go next? Miles, are you saying something to us, bud?
Redacted is going to enter some navigational tactics into the computer.
Going back to computers. Okay, got it.
Beep, beep.
38.
Second success. Drew, go quickly before Tyler gets a chance.
Physical science to see if we can, you know, somehow get out of the way.
Okay. Maybe throw some crystals between you and it. Mitigate the impact. All right. Another fail. Tyler. You gonna lie your way out of this one?
I don't know how I'm going to lie my way out of this one.
There's no starship about to destroy us. What are you talking about, guys?
These guys aren't even that big.
What an illusion. I don't know.
Just say everything's going to be fine.
Can I lie to them and say that if they hit this ship with their ship, it's going to destroy the orb? They don't want to do that.
You're opening up comms to talk to the Fated Harvest?
Yeah.
You fools, you'll destroy the orb. It's right here. I'll make sure you destroy it. I'll put it right where you're about to hit.
I'm going to chuck it out the window.
You divert that vessel assistant.
Make me a roll.
Guys, I'm a bad liar.
Thank God. All right, are you burning another?
Yeah. Why not waste a quarter of my result points?
There's not going to be a combat. This is the end of the campaign, right?
So. Oh, yeah. No, this is not going to bite me so hard. All right. This gets a +6 bonus.
Jeez Louise.
Lie, Tyler. No! It's a 34.
Patrick. Can you reroll again?
No.
Your guys' view screens light up a moment before impact of the bridge, the nearly destroyed bridge of the Fated Harvest. There's like wires burning out, maybe a small fire, smoke. You see a bandaged but still bleeding through the bandages, perhaps some magical slings and things applied to wounds. You see Watcher Krulveth here kind of standing over the camera equipment, the holographic camera equipment pointed up at her. Let it be destroyed then. I need everyone to make me another fortitude save. A little bit more damage this time. A little bit more.
Jeez Louise.
I'm re-rolling that. I have the eel jacket.
I'm going to telepathically beg my god for help. I'm like, god, I know you're there.
What is it? Time.
Please let my natural 20
god!
Only being a 34.
Are you there, Prater? It's me, Jamfram.
I'm here. I'm here with you.
We about to die.
I've got but I have bad news. You know I don't really know a lot of healing spells, right?
Oh no! Oh god! What have I done?
I'm kind of one of those mystics that doesn't.
I should have just paid back Greg's arm mortis.
Yeah, Greg's.
this is how we die.
The faded harvest crashes into the Peridot Peregrine, you know, absolutely obliterating the shields. Both ships taking a ton of damage, but your engines and thrusters, your engine room, almost completely obliterated as a massive explosion rocks the Peridot Peregrine. Both ships enmeshed in one another, fling forward and crash into this planetoid. So you're taking some damage here from the ship hitting you, from your ship's crashing. There's a sickening lurching forward as everything in the cockpit kind of heaves forward here on the bridge, and then backwards as your ship kind of peels off the faded harvest, maybe spins over its back, and with some pretty heavy gravity crashes down behind it. As I said, violent explosions destroying parts of the faded harvest as well, as both ships come to a crashing halt. This is a lot of damage. Hope everyone's all right. Maybe it's not that much damage. 63 points of a bludgeoning damage as you guys fall out of your chairs or thrown forward. I guess that is only 31 for Zilix. Yeah,
I tucked and rolled.
And yeah, the holographic image of Watcher Krulveth, maybe like a crank in their neck, an arm falling limp at their side, the other arm gone, stands up and says,
attention, Viridian scum. You might have beaten me, beaten my ship, destroyed most of my vessels in my armada, but you will not stop my god Mesaxenoi from feeding. You and your planet is doomed, and you all will be the first to be fed to the maw of Mesaxenoi.
The feed cuts out here as perhaps your ship's computers begin to power down. The remaining atmosphere on the bridge here is intact, but you see life support goes offline on the Peridot Peregrine. Artificial gravity begins to fade away as you feel a much stronger gravity sucking you downwards towards the surface of this rock. But you know it is likely not the rock itself, but the massive superstar beneath it pulling you, you know, still tens of millions of miles away. Yeah, well, hey, what would you guys like to do? Are you alive? Is everyone still?
Yeah, no, that is fine.
Yeah, is this the lady that Prater let go?
Yeah, Watcher Krulveth. She's a pretty diehard chick.
Yeah,
really proving your worth as a leader here.
I hope you're saying this in character. Please, please just give me this.
Yeah, I think Asher would have a bit of a beef with Prater over this, but. That is a fight for another time. We will talk about this back on Viridian Colony when we surely make it back to planet, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna need that okay, bluff check. Mom.
Well, as it stands right now, it looks like the only two starships that could get you off of this rock are both destroyed.
Not looking
well, good. That's good.
Make a new one.
Well, I mean, I feel like our only option here is to enact upon Watcher Cruelvath what we should have done back in that pit, right?
Yeah, Redacted's in full agreement there.
Lock and load.
Everyone, good news. The orb is okay.
you get and from
maybe,
behind
and maybe
a console.
Should join Cruelvath.
Yeah. And you look, and Praetor is bleeding out of a lot of places.
Redette has cast some icy stares, but none icier than this one.
Well, do you guys want to take a 10-minute rest? Does anyone need to use healing of any sort? Does anyone in HP damage?
Yeah, I'll take a 10-minute.
I wouldn't turn down a 10-minute. I assume everyone could stand to get some SP back.
I'm about half of my SP, but you know.
You guys have about 30 minutes until, you know, the apocalypse, so 10 minutes is not going to, you know, sway it one way or the other. I'd recommend taking it. But you can't take more than two more. So stop crashing starships, you crazy kids, you.
It was all on purpose, and it was Tyler's fault.
You're not too far off.
Tyler, are you in HP damage?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to heal yourself?
All right, please. No.
No, I'm not going to waste a spell slot healing myself.
Do you have regenerative blood?
No.
No.
Do you have healing serums?
No.
Do you want healing serums?
Once again, it's the end of the campaign, so don't let these linger in your inventory.
This is my last chance to die. If you think I'm going to let you take that away from me.
Okay, well.
Sure. I mean, if anybody has like a really like level 1, that'd be fine. I can do that.
Redacted fires two shots at Praetor. put him out of our misery.
Now I need a Mark II. I could use a Mark II now.
Yeah, I mean, feel free to roll whatever you need, but you guys can spend this RP, you know, collecting yourselves, maybe wrapping a few bandages around some banged up bits, rocking your serums if you need them. But yeah, then you're heading out of the starship, going to see what this land outside is like.
Here, I'm gonna roll a medicine check to try to help Praetor while giving him a talking to.
All right, well, we'll see.
Yeah, well, we could all tell you meant it.
It's a critical failure. What do you say?
Oh no. I hope this hurts only a little bit.
Yeah, she's literally like, I have like a Praetor has a cut on their neck, and you are just cinching down that bandage.
Azure Sky, can't breathe.
Okay, so failure there.
Then nothing. Sorry.
Nothing.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. You don't waste healing on your backline support guy.
Oh, wait, we're not in Starfinder 2E. You can't fail this.
Oh,
I forgot how skills work. If you have, it's only DC 20. Sorry, Tyler, you're getting healed.
So I give him some harsh healing.
Got him.
Yes, so this does not do it by five or more, so you're just healing up 12 pit points.
Oh, that'll do it. I think almost on the money.
Cool. Right, yeah, as you step outside the Peridot Peregrine, you see kind of the extent of the damage here. Indeed, it seems like the entire back half of the ship has been damaged in some form. There's decompression in just about half of the bulkheads. This is not something you'd be able to repair here. And the Faded Harvest looks like it's in worse shape. Like it's a massive dreadnought that's in like four or five pieces that have kind of stuck into the rock around this area. Some of which have fused with the Peridot Peregrine. But yeah, looking out towards the other side of this rock, you see a massive platform of tiered steps raising up to what looks like a dais. Fairly familiar one that seems to be carved into the surface of the stone here. Very similar to the one on the moon that you were at just half a day ago. There seems to be hundreds of floating crystals in the air here, but kind of when you step forward, you can tell indeed they seem to be locked in the same orbit as this ground around you and are like fixed points right above you. They're not moving at all. They're not twisting or turning. It's like a big old sky of purple crystals right above you, trapped in the same gravity well of Misaxenoi. I'm going to take us to the map because the other thing that you see here is Watcher Cruelvath. about halfway up the steps, limping towards this dais at the far end here. Badly broken, perhaps, their gait. She's hobbling along under what seems like pretty heavy gravity here. I don't know if I want to use the heavy gravity rules, but it's close. It's close to it, this close to the star. But yeah, Kruveth seems to be in a great deal of pain. And she, as soon as she catches wind that you've left the starship, she turns around and on comms you hear, "Oh, crap, you guys are real fast."
"Well, no matter. You see your ship. It's disabled. There's no getting off of this rock. You might as well find a comfortable place to die, to watch the end of your world."
She points up and you see a pale blue dot amidst the purple shadows of the firmament framed.
I can see my house from here.
Yeah, framed as if New Galerion's was the iris of a great magical eye in the sky. There's just like a break in the crystals where you see the black of space. And indeed, this little dot where everyone you know on the planet is currently hunkering under necromantic shields and trying their best to survive. You watch as great bands of purple energy, millions of miles long, this necro radiation, maybe to untrained eyes would not look like this, but you guys can see the purple tendrils for what they are. These magical tendrils kind of slowly, like a giant octopus suckers, moving towards the planet.
You all are ready. The time of the culling is upon us. I must commend you all for pushing me out here. I probably would have never chosen this vantage point without your interference.
She turns around, begins hobbling back up the rock face. Oh. She like slips climbing up a section of rock. I think about 100 feet away and falls.
Team, I think it would only be humane to put this one out of their misery.
With pleasure, Captain.
Mercy killing. You got a cap.
Yeah, squash that bug.
Yeah, do you guys want to move together as a group? What do you want to do here?
First I want to make sure we're not walking into a trap. Can I perceive any hidden threats?
I mean, you're on like a broken up space rock in the storm.
Cool. She could also have a bomb on her to just blow up the second we get within two feet of her. So,
can I use my jetpack in this gravity or no?
Yeah, I think so.
Can anyone else fly? Did we learn our lessons in the last time?
I can fly spending a
all right.
No, you're gonna have to carry me. Great. So
cool. Glad we've grown as people here.
All right. Hold my hand. He take off.
Whee. Yeah. Hold on to his Jamie Crammy.
No, it's that's like not a, what that is.
Like a Hot Pocket, right? It's like a...
Yeah.
Like the little hand warmers on a hoodie.
Just I can stick use a jetpack, right?
Can you?
I mean, for flight purposes?
You have a jetpack.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having a jetpack like me.
I bought one like a while back.
See, all right, Redacted is an example of a character who has grown as a person. Okay. I am so proud of them.
As you guys, I'll move you up together kind of as a group here. As you move forward as a group, some of you flying, maybe some of you having to do a little bit of climbing here.
Can I attach the jet back to the vehicle?
No, but the vehicle can climb up you can command it to move. Kruveth kind of like falls to the ground and like puts hands up. It's like, "No, please don't kill me. If you kill me, my energy will not be consumed by my Saxonoi, and I won't receive my eternal death, from which return is impossible. I want my soul to be shredded from the face of this life or the afterlife. I want to feel the culling shadow rip me open. I want my history to be erased. All will become null in its expansive maws. But if you kill me, you'll be sorry."
Sounds like a you problem.
Tyler Prater, you maybe feel a pull in the orb in your hands as you get closer to the altar, this dais at the top of the hill. Indeed, something tells you maybe in your mind to keep away from there. You're getting mixed signals.
Getting mixed signals about this place. Can I sense motive on Kolveth?
Yes, please. Please do.
Just want to see if they're goading us into murdering them.
41. Okay. They seem to indeed be perhaps keeping some information from you, but they seem very honest in that they do not want to die. Believe it or not. And you just know that the way kind of Misaxenoi works is your whole spirit, your life force is consumed by the thing. So if you die beforehand, that you don't get to be a part of the fun.
No phrasma for you.
Group death. Well, no. If you're destroyed by Misaxenoi, then indeed there's probably no coming back outside of godly interference.
Okay. So we can just stand here and watch it happen. Is that what I'm hearing? Like, if they make it up the steps, they're going to die anyway?
Oh, yeah, no, you guys are all going to die.
Oh, but we don't want to die. So. Oh,
well, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, not all of us want to die, okay, Prettier?
I was about to say, yeah. Do you have any questions for Kruelbeth or anything you want to say? Can drag her down off the mountaintop here.
Kruelbeth, what is that altar up there? I don't know if you're lying, so don't lie.
It is another.
Or I'll heal you, I swear to God.
No, I want to be healed.
Oh, sorry. No, I'll kill you.
I'm really goofed up. Oh, no, don't kill
me. I got really confused about which bluff was lying and which bluff was real.
It is another seat of power for the stones made by the Watchers. Another place that was destroyed long ago and sucked into the orbit of Misaxenoi. If you kill me, you will never be able to stop the Shadow's embrace for... Only a true watcher can commune with the elder god of destruction itself, of obliteration. Only I can activate the stone.
I'd say you give it a try.
A what?
A try.
I think I... Oh, man. So what? And even if I gave you the stone and you activated it on the altar, what could you possibly do with it? It seems like there's nothing that could... That is... changing the course of Misaxenoi now.
I mean, I will probably pray to my god and give thanks to Misaxenoi and tell the entity that I've brought five real big jerks to be consumed first at the site of holy annihilation, but ask for me to be the first one to be consumed. You guys can die after.
Oh, thanks. Does this all seem truthful, Patrick, or do you want me to roll? Or?
Oh, yeah, no, you've rolled very well on this first sense motive check. They seem to be pretty on the level with you. You think there's a lot of painkillers running through their system right now. That, like, you see missing limbs, broken limbs, and they probably have a lot of drugs keeping them awake right now.
Yeah. Prater will maybe... Oh, man. This isn't going to go well, guys.
If you try to stop me, I will defend myself.
You see them trying to like summon a Solarian purple blade, and it just kind of like it like topples over. It like bends like rubber band. Like,
all right, never mind. I mean, I give up.
Just kidding. Parlay.
We like a good joke in the Cult of the Culling Shadow.
No, Prater will just walk by, and he's holding the orb, and he'll say, I want you to know, I'm gonna go put this orb in that altar, and I'm gonna talk to your god, and I want you to say hello to Phrasma for me.
But what are you talking about? You'll die if you do that. You are not a watcher.
And then I nod at Jamfram to kill that person and take their armor.
Ah, chop her and I take her armor.
Yeah.
Chop.
Yeah, the head falls off. Like it was, Elmer glued on. Just cut through it like butter. Unfortunately, at this point, the armor has been damaged. So.
Ah, boo.
Yeah, it stinks, right? But They have other stuff, right? I can
it's
probably
still probably better than
look
my
it up
armor,
for you.
Technically.
You're like, quickly, loot that corpse. Loot it quick.
Loot it quick. I got to go put an orb in a hole.
Yeah, like 20 minutes. Yeah, as you climb closer towards the orb, you see movement in the crystalline sky above you. Thousands of feet above the island, something has been spinning downwards towards you. Maybe one of these giant crystals lists to one side, and you see another one a few thousand miles away listing in the same direction as they begin to reflect light in a different configuration. You see maybe a glint of the stones up here as something moves amongst them, a shadow flying from rock to rock, making a slow turn. You see a creature flapping what looks like crystalline wings, beating on an airless radioactive current. You look closer to see indeed it seems to be moving faster than any living creature can possibly move on wings of lifted by stellar radioactive wind, shortening its gyre, shortening its descent. What would you guys like to do? There's something a coming for you.
On the wings of love.
Great.
I reload my sword.
Oh boy, Cruelbeth would have had some things to say about this if she was still alive, but nope. She be dead.
Well,
maybe this could be our ride off of this place.
Yeah.
I just like how I was getting yelled at for letting Cruelbeth live, and now I've killed Cruelbeth, and now I'm going to get yelled at because I killed Cruelbeth.
It's always your fault, Prater.
Why did you do that, Prater? You did it. You did it to me. You made me do it.
That's blood on your hands, not mine. Yours.
I start wiping it on your shirt.
Let me go X out this. Yeah. You have two rounds to maybe three to prepare. You can move yourself where you'd like on the map here, but what lands on this star space island with a sickening thud? It's our gargantuan creature that looks indeed, it kind of looks a little bit like Godzilla, which is maybe why I picked this art, but it looks like a massive draconic crystalline entity with a scales, a body made of metal, and its own appendages overgrown with radioactive purple crystals.
You looks kind of like Godzilla mixed with Destoroyah.
Isn't it just the best, Miles? Isn't it just so good? Let me just increase this. I love it so much.
Oh, the head is kind of more like Zilla from the 98 movie.
Some wicked looking crystal.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Down its spine. You hear in your minds, I am the avatar of Misaxenoi, who shall speak for the Culling Shadow, harbinger of your doom. You may call me Umbriax, and I will be your unmaking. Prepare yourselves for battle, for your defeat, for your total annihilation, and for to be continued.
Bum, 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 that's what Renat did have like a megaphone going, boo, go away. That's the end of the campaign.
Yeah, I was hoping to get maybe into a little bit more of this combat, but we got quite a combat for you next week, guys. I just love adding dragons into this campaign. I feel like I've added three or four over the years. Space dragons are so much fun, and they don't put them in nearly enough of the Starfinder APs. So yeah, that's going to do it for us. So we've got only a few more episodes left of Season 5, Horizons of the Vast. Guys, thank you for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Oh, we'll catch you next week. Listeners, thanks for listening. So long, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Yo-ho.
And we're sorry.
Pizza, pizza.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.